I got a lot here, and to try to cover the kingdom of heaven in one sitting is difficult. So you may need to listen to it again, but if you're a note taker, you'll be glad you're taking notes. If you're not, you should take notes. Because this isn't a message that you just listen to and move on. This is one you're going to have to think about. You ready? You ready to go? Ready to listen fast? Okay. So our theme verse, and something in this message, the Lord revealed something to me that I had just been reading over that really fits in this moment. It's Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 4. Okay? You'll see it on the screen. I want you to see something. And I'm gonna at the end of the message, bring you a verse that's going to show you exactly. This verse is setting us up for that verse in Ephesians at the end of the message. Colossians 3, 1 through 4 says, since then, read this with me, comma to comma, you have been raised with Christ. Did you see it? The word raised is not future tense. It's not present tense. It's past tense. If you're a believer in Christ, you have been raised with him. It's past tense. Okay, so this is the part that's hard. This will hurt your brain a little bit. Because Christ is trying to reveal a heavenly, beyond this earth revelation, and he that has ears will hear it, and he that won't hear it. They won't get it. You won't get it. If you have the mind of Christ, you're going to get this. If you don't, you're not going to get this. And that's not bad. I'm not saying you're a bad person. You're going to hell. Somebody's going to say, oh, you're saying I'm going to hell because I'm not understanding. No, but you need the mind of Christ because it's an eternal thing. Now, follow. So you were raised with Christ. God is not existing in a linear path. Does that make sense? He lives outside. Like, we struggle to think of life outside of, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and we don't know what's going to happen in 10 years, and we don't know what's going to happen in 20 years. God already knows. And it's not that God controls what you do, because he doesn't, but he already knows what you're going to do. He already knows your future. God knows the future, and then we have a problem with him knowing the future. Right? God knows from the beginning to end. So he knows the future from the past, right? So he knows who's going to be in heaven and those who will not decide. It doesn't affect your free will at all. You still get to choose. You're still deciding. You're living. But he already knows what you're going to decide because he's already seen it. He already knows if you prayed for something to be done and when something's not been done. How many are like, I need a Tylenol? And we'll give the ushers will come and bring you a Tylenol to fully understand this. It'll hurt your brain, right? So with that, when Christ sees you, he's not looking at you where you're at currently. He sees you where you're planted, raised with Christ. Okay? So when he then makes the next statement, set your hearts on things above, he says, that's where you're seated. And look at it. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Where is Christ seated? At the right hand of the Father. You're going to read in Ephesians that you're seated there with Christ. Set your minds in things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now where? Hidden with Christ. And where is Christ? With God in heaven. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So this is, I mean, when the Lord really kind of showed me this, it was like, whoa, a light bulb turned on. Like, you're already in heaven if you're a believer in Christ. Because you were raised with him and seated at the right side of the Father. So speaking to God the Father, when you pray like he's right here to your left hand because you're on his right hand. You're seated with Christ in heaven. Hey, Father. And you say, but I'm here. And I said, where are you sitting right now? Where are you sitting right now? So you're like, in Farmington, Minnesota. Actually, you're seated with the Father in heaven, operating on earth as though you were in heaven. Heaven is right all around us. See, this is the problem with a lot of believers. We think we're just trying to behave well enough to get into heaven rather than realize Christ already paid the price so you could live heaven on earth. Because you're seated with him. Now, I know, didn't I tell you, you're going to have to think about this. And I'm going to try to help you with that a little bit this morning to kind of shape that so you have a lot to think about. So what I want to talk about is the kingdom of heaven. Now, it's mentioned only really in Matthew. The kingdom of heaven is mentioned 32 times in Matthew, but kingdom of God is in all the other gospels. So people say, well, what's the difference between kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God? There is no difference. It's the same thing. The kingdom of heaven is the presence of the King God and the kingdom of God. So we often don't have a problem with the term kingdom of God, but we just don't know what it means. Like, how does it affect my life currently? And for many, they think the kingdom of heaven is referring to a life that comes after death. They would argue that the kingdom of heaven is what we will experience once we die. So in order to experience heaven, you have to die. Death is, in a way, their deliverer. What? Death will never be your savior. Death is not your deliverer, ever. When you gave your life to Christ, you enter heaven on earth. It isn't even necessarily moving from realm to realm. You're already living in that realm. So the kingdom of heaven, here it is in Matthew 4:17. And again, I tell you, there's going to be a ton of verses. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, change the way you think, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Which the terminology, that's a translation from that meaning, but the meaning in that language was the kingdom of heaven is currently here. It's right here. It's right in front of you. How many are raised in a church setting or teaching that we're living on earth and we got to die to go to heaven? Right? When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. So rejoice now, because it's here. Right? Rejoice now, because we're all in, when you gave your life to Christ, you were resurrected with him, and now you live in a kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, in which he's the king. Okay. Thank you for that amen. Everyone else is like, I don't know if I should amen yet because I don't know if I agree with it. Here's the kingdom of heaven is literally, it's a king's dominion. When there's a kingdom, whether it's the Persian Empire or Alexander the Great, they were the king, and the land and the people in the land were their dominion. They had dominion over them. And so we've said this many times before. He'll either be your king or he'll be your president. And even water baptism, it starts right there at water baptism. If you're the person that says, okay, God told me to do this, but I need to understand it first. It needs to make sense to me first. Before I do it, I gotta kind of get it. Then he's not your king, he is your president. Let's just be honest, he's not your king, he's your president. Because you're saying, I have to understand. Because we grew up in a democracy, we think that's our right to understand before I do. But in a kingdom, when the king says to do something, it's this response, yes, sir. It's his dominion. I do what the king says to do. Your opinion doesn't matter in a kingdom. Sorry to wreck your sensitive hearts. Like, what do you mean? But it shouldn't matter. My mama always told me my opinion matters, but not in the kingdom of God. Right? And quite frankly, if you're living in the kingdom of God, you understand it's foolish to think your opinion matters because he's the creator of the universe. Like, it's foolish. So John 3:8, and some say, well, so show me the kingdom of God. Show me it. If you're going to do it, show it to me. I don't believe anything I can't see. I believe in this chair because I can touch the chair. If I can see it, I believe it. How many have heard that, right? So you don't believe in anything you can't see. That's right. You have to show it to me or I won't believe it. Really? So you don't believe in wind. How foolish are you? Well, I believe in wind. Explain it to me. Show me wind. Right now, show me wind. Well, be careful. That could mean all kinds of things. That's funny. You can't show me wind because you can't see wind. The reason you know wind exists is because you see the effect of wind on things you can see. An invisible effect is impacting a physical reality. How do I know the kingdom of heaven exists? I see its impact on the lives of people around me. I see what it does in their life. Therefore, I know. That's why in John 3:8 it says the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. So Luke 13 says, in verse 18, it says, then Jesus asked, what is the kingdom of God like? Legitimate question. What shall I compare it to? It's like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden, and it grew and became a tree, and the birds perched in its branches. And again he asked, what should I compare the kingdom of God to? It's like a yeast that a woman took, mixed into about 60 pounds of flour. I love that it lists how many pounds of flour it was, until worked through all the dough. So two things it's really saying. One, it's small. Both yeast and mustard is little or small, but it grows into something that people can rest in and something that sustains them. The mustard seed turns into a tree which people can rest on its limbs, so people can rest in your life. Like people find rest with those operating in the kingdom of God. You see the effect. And the second thing is it's constantly growing, but it sustains them. Yeast causes that flour to become something very large, and it becomes very sustaining. Right? When you look at a kingdom, there are components to a kingdom. Here are the components. Number one, there's a government in the kingdom of God, and Christ is the king. So this kingdom has a king and only a king. Matthew 28:18 says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven, and notice what else it says. All authority in heaven and where? Where's the kingdom of heaven? In heaven and has been given to me. This kingdom on earth exists whether or not you can see it or not. So there's an atmosphere in a kingdom. They have an atmosphere. And where God is present, there's an atmosphere that follows him. Then the greatest desire of God is to possess your heart. That's what he wants. He wants your heart. He wants you to desire him. How many parents in here, you want your kids to want to be with you. You don't want to have to manipulate them to come over to your house. Right? I'll cook you a big steak. You come over. I'll give you $100 to come and spend the night, you know, over here and play games. You don't want them to feel obligated or manipulated to come. You want them to enjoy coming to mom and dad, right? How many mom and right? God wants his children to desire to be with him. It's just this. God's presence is heaven. So when you think of heaven, everything we described in that first message describes an age to come. But heaven is way beyond the age to come. Heaven is here. And what makes heaven on earth? His presence. There's a song we used to sing called, Your Presence is Heaven to Me. Remember what we said? If you want to know if you're going into heaven or not, answer this question. Do you want to be with God or don't you? Because if you don't want to be with God, he isn't going to torture you and bring you into his presence. He really is going to bring those who... So this kingdom is full of what is God? Love. So when you're in the kingdom of God on earth, you're going to know this incredible sense of love. acceptance. Like, this love is just going to be incredible. You're going to have truth. You're going to know truth. It'll be as clear as could be, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. So you're going to have certainty in knowing the way. There's certainty. You're going to have life. It's going to be an adventure. You're going to be have fun. Like right now, you're not going to be sitting there going. You're going to smile, right? Because I got life, right? I'm excited. Amen. There he goes. I'm manipulating you right now. And then the fruits of the Spirit are not something. I never preach on the fruits of the Spirit. You know why? Because why would I try to bring you into condemnation for something you can't produce? I need to be patient. Well, if you want to be patient, pursue the Holy Spirit. Well, I need to be loving. Pursue the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is what produces it in you, not you. And in the atmosphere of the kingdom of God, the more you pursue the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit will live in you, right? The more you pursue Christ, the fruit of Christ will reign in you. The more you pursue the Father, love will reign in you. You're not pursuing behavior. You're pursuing the source that changes you. Christ would never have you pursue in your own. That's called humanism. There are some messages that I've even preached that have been humanistic messages. It says your response, you got to do this. You're the source to change. You're not. You're not. So then there's a culture in the kingdom of God, and all of these are their own messages. I'm only putting there so it gives you a picture of the kingdom of God. Generosity. If you're living in a kingdom, in the kingdom of heaven, you're a generous person. I mean, some people throw around quarters as if they're manhole covers, but that is not people who are generous in the kingdom of God. Then there are people who honor. There are people who are, there's forgiveness. There are no offended people in the kingdom of God. You cannot live offended in the kingdom of God. If you're offended, you should leave the kingdom of the world and step into the kingdom of God, because there are no victims in the kingdom of God. There are no victims. There's wisdom in the kingdom of God. There's humility in the kingdom of God. There's great creativity in the kingdom of God. And there's people serve. They willingly serve. They don't come to church to be served. They come to serve. Right? That's like why when you worship, you're going to see a shift right now in the church. The churches are taken. I'm not here to say one is right or wrong, but I will tell you where we're going. If you want a worship concert, go buy a ticket somewhere else. But when we come together, we all have a responsibility. I'm not just the one preparing myself to sing, preach a message. You need to prepare yourself to come together and worship before the Lord, because we're doing church together. Right? It takes it. What it does is it takes God's ministry off a platform, and it makes it the whole room. We all minister together. Right? That family that came in, before they ever heard a message or sang a song, they were being ministered to by greeters in the lobby. Okay? That's the culture of the kingdom of God. The economy of the kingdom of God is very simply this. Some would argue authority. I would say it's God's word. So Satan wants you to be poor in the kingdom of God, so he convinces you you don't need to read the word of God because you've already read it. So you're very poor in the kingdom of God because you think you know his word. What you don't understand is when you declare his word, even if you've read it 100 times before, every time you declare his word, you bring order in chaos. You bring order to chaos. So when you read his word, it's the currency in the kingdom of God, because his word holds all things together, right? It brings everything. And his word calls things that are not existing as though they were. So when you know his word and you're declaring his word and you read his word, it is the currency of the kingdom of God. That's why those who are living in the kingdom of God value the time they spend in this, value the time they hear his word and they listen for his word, because there's something that translates into their life and it makes them wealthy. Does that make sense? Here's the mission of the kingdom. It sets the captive free. That's our mission. Set the captive free. How many captives have you been talking to this week? If you're living in the kingdom of God, it's not about your job. It's about finding captives and saying, let me give you freedom. Let me show you it. And then finally, they're residents of the kingdom of God. And who are the residents? Believers, Christ followers, human beings who've discovered their true identities as, get this, image bearers of God. Yeah. That I am in the image of God. That when you look at one another, you're seeing a picture of God. Matthew 13:11 says, he replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. It's foolishness to people, to the unbeliever. Luke 8:10 says, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand. See, the unbeliever, this whole talk about heavenly kingdoms sounds foolish. There are even some Christians that claim Christ but deny any understanding of the kingdom of heaven on earth because they're convinced it comes in the age to come. That's what they believe. And how do you have any success as a kingdom builder in this world if you don't believe it exists? So the presence of the kingdom of God. Do you know the message Jesus preached is not the message most Christians preach? He's not preaching to behave better. Well, I go to church so that I'm a better person. Really? You should really go to Christ for that. He wasn't preaching about the cross. It hadn't happened. They would have had no clue what he was talking about. In fact, even after he died on the cross, he didn't preach about it. He preached about the kingdom of heaven. See, there's this whole thing about hanging around the cross, at the cross, at the cross. That's where you first saw the light, but you should really be walking in the kingdom of God. See, the kingdom of the cross is the key, but the kingdom is the vehicle. Yes. You don't hang around the cross. He didn't save you to hang around the cross. He saved you and gave you the cross as a door to live in a kingdom of heaven on earth. To experience the power of that kingdom on earth. That's why in Matthew 4:17, from the time that Jesus began to preach, it was always repent, for the kingdom of heaven is right here. He didn't give coaching lessons or how to be a better person. Jesus preached the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. And the message he commands us to preach in Matthew 10:7, he says, as you go, proclaim this message, the kingdom of heaven is near. That we should be telling people, you don't need to live like that. You don't need to live in that. You don't need to be bound, but you can live free. You can be delivered. You see, they were to show people the kingdom of God. The message was to match operation. Listen to this. Revelation should match demonstration. It's one thing, and we hear a lot of preaching about something, but Jesus always accompanied what he was preaching about with the demonstration of it. I'm going to tell you about healing. Now let me bring healing into your life. It was a revelation with demonstration. 1 Thessalonians 1:5 says, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but with power. Yes. We didn't just simply talk about it, but we demonstrated power. And Jesus preached and he taught in parables. He said the kingdom of heaven is like. Why? Because he had been there and he wanted to reveal to those who are the followers of Christ, this is what the kingdom of heaven looks like. And he wants you to live it as though you were in heaven today, right now. Because God's dominion in heaven is not limited to the city limits in heaven. Yes. Have you thought about that? Oh, when we all get to heaven, are you saying God's only powers confined to heaven? Or do you really believe that when God comes in all of his presence, he can bring it to earth? That he desires to bring it to earth. So choose whether you will allow the words of Christ to change the way you think, the way you see, and the way you hear your surroundings. That's what he tells you. Seek the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day is enough trouble of its own. Psalms 23 says, he says, the Lord is my shepherd that I have no want. Because when you're in the kingdom of God and you're living in the kingdom of God, you no longer worry. Because you're like, oh, what was I worried about? Oh, like there isn't anything on earth that's bigger than God. That's why David never worried about Goliath. Because David wasn't worried about some guy that stunk because he was so big. He went right after him. There are no giants in the kingdom of God. There is nothing you faced in your life that's bigger than the kingdom of God or the God you serve. Only the pagans worry because they don't know about this kingdom. So how do you seek the kingdom? First, you got to understand the value of it. The kingdom of heaven is of great value. Matthew 13:44 says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. And when a man found it, he hid it again. And then in joy went and sold all he had to buy the field. That's how he went to see. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven is like, when you discover how incredible it is, see, just stop for a moment. You're already sitting there going, oh, I've never heard any preachers say, they must be right and you're wrong. Well, if I'm wrong, then everything I just give, that's why I've given you so many Bible verses. You're arguing not with me, you're arguing with that says it's here. It says Jesus himself said the kingdom of heaven, when you discover it, you take everything you have and you sell it to find that. You know, I love history, and one of the things I love about it is the number of people through history who are trying to find the fountain of youth. And let me tell you, I want to know if they found it. Especially now that I'm going to be a grandpa, I want to know, because I would like to, you know, be younger, right? How many would say? They spent an incredible, kings spent an incredible amount of money because they believed it exist. They wanted to find it. If the kingdom of heaven is everything the Bible says it is, wouldn't true followers of Christ sell out everything to find it? Because it's a treasure. Secondly, the kingdom of heaven comes by faith. Not that you have trust without seeing, but rather you step out in faith and see the manifestation of it. Thirdly, the kingdom of heaven comes to those who receive it as children. This is an interesting thought. Truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of God. John 3:3 says, Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're what? See, this is what happens. We come to Christ, we believe he died on the cross, and he was resurrected, and we tell people about it. But we never become born again. You say, well, I have to be born again in order to be saved. No, you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, and you shall be saved. But you never were born again. Well, how could I not be born again? Because you continue to live with the same thinking you had from the time you were a child till now, and you just added all of the biblical set as an amendment to everything you've already known. See, this is what Jesus was saying. In order to see the kingdom of God, you have to forget everything you think is wisdom now and become like a little child and relearn life. You have to go through deconstruction. You have to literally deconstruct everything you've learned up to now without God and in an atmosphere with no God. You literally have to set that aside and become, are you getting this? And become like a new child and say, this is a football. That's what Vince Lombardi told to his Packers after they had won. He went right to the basics and he says, this is a football, right? And you think that's so simple. That's exactly, this is the cross. And you got to relearn everything, but not from a worldly point of view, from a biblical point of view. You say, none of it was working. Bible says all this stuff. It's because you're trying to add it in to all of, you're mixing it into a bunch of broken stuff. It's never going to make sense. You got to leave it all behind. So, and then finally, kingdom authority. We have kingdom authority. When you're in the kingdom, you have authority. Luke 4, 6 says, and he said to them, I will give all authority and splendor, and it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to give it to. And he says, I'm going to give it to the authority to anyone who's called by my name. It is impossible to walk in the authority of a kingdom that we don't fully believe even exists. If you don't believe it exists, you will never walk in the kingdom. You will never operate in the supernatural. And you see that in John 3, 3. He says, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. Then in verse 5, he says, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God. Notice he changes it, unless you're born of water and of spirit. But so much of Christianity is about people behaving good enough to get them into heaven. And last week we talked about it. You'll never behave good enough to get into heaven. You'll never be good enough. It is a free gift in order to get into heaven. It's not your goodness. Christ paid it. So why are you trying to do something he's already taken care of when he's called us to operate as kingdom builders on earth? To be yeast that grow the kingdom of God on earth. But if you don't know about the kingdom, and you focus on it's just about behaving, Satan's got you. He's got you pursuing something Christ has already paid for, so you're distracted from the thing that destroys the kingdom of the air. And there are only two kingdoms on earth. So why do we fail to see the massive miracles in America as some see around the world? There's two reasons. Here's the answer to the question. Number one, they don't know their position. And you don't use his word. Number one, position. We struggle to comprehend and believe who we are in the position we're seated in. You need to remind the devil who you are. Devil, do you know who you're messing with? Devil, do you know who I am? I am the favored child of the Creator who created me. I am the bride of his son, Jesus, who crushed your head. I am the best friend of the one and only Spirit who is with me all the time. Devil, when you mess with me, you're messing with my whole family, and we're going to stomp on your head because we're pretty close. So back off, devil. You say, well, that's just you preaching, getting all, doing all that. Listen, the Bible says resist the devil and he has to flee. Somebody, you gotta resist the devil like you actually believe he's going to flee. Not like how you raise your kid. No, Johnny, don't do that. Now, you know, we don't like it. You know what happens when you do that? I'll spank you, Johnny. I'll spank you, Johnny. I'll spank you, Johnny. He's like laughing. Yeah, right. Veiled threats. Oh, no, devil. Then this ain't any veiled threat. My God doesn't make veiled threats. You come against me, you're coming against them. And I got a pretty big army. Yeah. Ephesians 2. This is the verse I was talking to you about in the beginning. In Colossians was talking about it. Ephesians 2, listen to this. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, which you used to live in. When you followed the ways of this world and the ruler, look up, the kingdom of the air. He says there's another kingdom. It's the kingdom of the air, demonic kingdom. Satan is the king of that kingdom. The spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of the flesh, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving wrath. Remember when I said, why do bad things happen to good people? And I made the statement, I said, what you deserve is wrath. That's what it says. There are no good people. Every human deserves wrath. So when you say, what a bad, right there. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Look at what it says. Made us what? Alive with Christ. Notice the term, he made you, past tense, you, us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been, not are going to be, you have been saved. Now, look at this is the part where the Lord showed me this, and I was like, wow. God raised us up with Christ and seated us. Notice the term, word seat. It's not he will seat us. He is seating us. It's past tense. He seated us with him where? What? With who? Do you see it? You're seated with Christ. Like right now, I know you're sitting in Farmington, but actually the Bible says, even though you're physically here, you're actually seated with him in heaven. So heaven is here. And the Spirit is living in you. He is the head. We are the body. Have you ever seen a head sitting in a chair? No, the head sitting on a body, and the body is seated in the chair. So when we attack the enemy, we're not coming at him and saying, well, and the enemy says, look at this. And say, what are you talking about, devil? I'm seated in heaven. I'm not afraid of you. We are bringing the kingdom of God. Listen, when we're not this celebrity mentality that our young people and even our older people are now getting in, it is demonic. It's demonic. I'm sorry. If you want to be an influencer, you better be careful, because here's the problem with that. If what you're influencing them is them to follow something that is mortal, then you're missing the point. Our job isn't to make ourselves famous. It's to make Christ famous. He's the head. Oh, yeah. And guess what? When I make him famous, I'm his body. And then the word. We don't know his word. Our ignorance of God's words causes us to be ignorantly accept things that we don't need to live with. Because I don't know his word. So I literally declare the word of the Lord. That word brings life. And without it, there's only death. But what happens is if we don't need his word, then when things happen to us, we even call it God's will. What? No. Ain't God's will. His word says, lastly, you're a kingdom ambassador. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation is gone, the old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled to himself through Christ, gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Matthew 16:19 says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You see, the kingdom of heaven is now on earth. And he says, here are the keys. I bought you something. Here are the keys. I bought you something and I brought it here. This is way better than a new car. Here are the keys. And having the keys to unlock your car in a parking lot, you come up to me and you say, Pastor, do you have the keys to my car? And I'm like, yeah, they're right here. What? Did you lose your keys? No, I have my keys. I just want to use yours. Well, why? Use your own keys. No, I want to use yours. That is what the church has been doing for years. They've been literally saying, Pastor, we have keys, but we want you to be the keys. And you have made it literally, that action has made the church dysfunctional and ineffective in the kingdom of God. You need to start walking in the kingdom of heaven, and we will see our cities change, and the chaos in our world will come into order when the body of Christ starts to acknowledge the presence of a kingdom of heaven on this earth. And Jesus was asked, what do we proclaim? He says, this is the message you proclaim. The kingdom of heaven is here. You don't have to live that way. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have, and immediately, the thought the enemy puts up, you can't do that. You can't do it. Don't even try. You'll look foolish. You'll be embarrassed. Do not let the deceiver, the defeated one, convince you that you can't pray for the sick and see them healed, that you can't pray for the dead and see them come back to life, that you can't pray for the disease, that you can't command demons to leave and they leave. Freely you have received, so freely give. Will you stand? There are three takeaways. There is a kingdom of heaven that is currently on earth. You need to leave with the understanding there's something happening around me. There is an atmosphere I need to plug into. Secondly, God is revealing the kingdom through those who are seeking for it. Those who are searching for it, they will find it and living in it. And third, the kingdom of heaven rules over the kingdom of the air. There isn't anything on this earth that can defeat what God does. But we have to seek to find it. We have to be searching for it. You ready to search right now with your hearts? And you want to lift your hands, whatever it is, just say, God, here I am. Here I am. I'm searching, God. I want to know this kingdom. This isn't about knowledge. It's not about understanding things. It's about the revelation with the manifestation of that revelation. Lord, unleash me to operate in the kingdom of God with power and authority and victory in this day, right now. I don't want to wait till then. I want to do it right now.